I heard a Mordechai Maisa of a Shabbos with Chaim Epstein. Chaim Epstein's Zatzal was a Emes Gadol Batayra. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Brooklyn, in New York. He was a Talmud of Aaron. And he said about himself, this is what someone told me, that before he came to Rav Aaron, he was a Bachar, and he had a Gevaldik Chashivas HaTayra. He understood how we're learning Torah HaKadosha. And Yitaka was a big, you know, masmid, and he felt he had some type of madrega. And in his mind, it crossed the thought that, why am I going to Rav Aaron and Lakewood? What more could I gain? That was like a thought that went through his mind. What more am I really going to gain? And he said, Lamaisi went to learn by Rav Aaron, and learning by Rav Aaron literally changed his life. When I learned by Rav Aaron, he says, with all my understanding of the godless and the kedushas haTorah, Rav Aaron taught me something different. He taught me Torah is a living mitzias, and that changed my life. This is what Rav Chaim Epstein said, and this is mamash the yisoy that we've been speaking about last week by Arichus. To realize Torah is a living relationship with a living being. It's not just a gevaldika kedushas haTorah of chachmas haTorah more than all other chachmas lahavdil. But it's something much more than that. It's a relationship. You know, I remember, I'm just thinking now, about 24 years ago, my brother-in-law got married. And his Zayda, was a great Rav, got up at the Chasana. And, you know, it used to be, sometimes he used to give speeches by Chasanas. It's very unheard of today. But he got up by the Chasana to speak. And I remember, like yesterday, he got up there and said, we should know our Chasan was once married. And everybody's like, their faces dropped. He was once married. And he went on to say how, because he's such a masmid, he's really married to the Torah. And he's on a second marriage now. And like at the time, like it was some type of drush that you're not used to hearing. But today, 24 years later, I hear it with a whole different light. He was mamish bringing out this Rav, which is a Zayda of the Chasan. He was bringing out this point, how Torah is a living mitzias. It's a relationship. And you're literally in a relationship with Torah. And this is what we've been speaking about. So today I want to be mamshich to try to internalize the yesoid and try to make it practical in our lives. The Pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, says like this. Ani oyhavai ehov. Ani is the Torah speaking. It's Pasuk Yud Zayin. Already in the beginning of the Perek, the introduction of the Perek is Haloi Chochmo Tikra. The Chochmo calls out, and Rashi says HaToyra Machrezes Dvorim Hamurim Lamata Be'inyan. Means the rest of the Perek, everything we were speaking about, it's the Torah talking. That's the introduction that Rashi brings down in the Pasuk, Halei Chochma Tikra. And what does the Torah say? Here in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Torah says, Ani Oyhavai, I, the Torah saying, the ones that love me, Ehov, I love. Which means if you want to be Zaycha, that Torah should reveal itself to you, Torah should go ahead and be there for you. Ani oyhavai ehov. If you love me, says the Torah, then I love you and I'll give myself over to you. Now we say a mashal, and I've mentioned this pasuk. There was once a guy, he was read to a girl. This girl, Grata, came from a very wealthy home, and she mamash had all the milos in the world. As they say, like, you know, quote unquote, she was the hottest thing in the market. And this guy was read to her. This guy, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven, Lamaisa, was not such, as much as he was maybe good in learning, and maybe had some milos, but his midas were horrible. Literally a behemoth. And when this girl, the family, looked into the shidduch, the father wanted it very much. The guy learned the brisk or whatever he learned, whatever the story is. It's a muscle, so you can make it up on your own. And Balamaisa, when they looked into him, she heard and she, you know, found out his horrible meters. She had no interest in going out with this guy. I'm not going out with him, nothing to talk about. And the father was adamant that she has to go out with him. So, without any choice, she had to go out. But she decided, I'm not getting dressed up for this date, because I'm not interested in the guy. So, it was a Sunday night date. She had on her Sunday clothes from, you know, cleaning and all that. She didn't change her clothes. She didn't go shower, put on makeup or anything. As is, 7 o'clock came, and the boy shows up to take her out on a date. And he goes out with her, and you can imagine how turned off he is. And he comes back after the date, obviously, it was one and done. He's finished, not going out with her again. But he comes back to the dorm of BMG, and he says, that girl that people talk about, nah, I went out with her. There's nothing to talk about. You don't, please. It's overrated, over-exaggerated. And he in his mind, Reuven, thinks he dumped the girl. And who really dumped who? She dumped him much faster than he dumped her. That's the essence of really what happened. And that's this pasuk here too. The Torah is telling you, Ani oyhavai ehov. The ones that love me, I love. Sometimes when it comes to learning, we think to ourselves, you know, it's already Adar, I'm not interested. It's a hard sugya, I'm not interested. And we think we're walking away like Reuven, we're walking away from the relationship. And we don't realize it could very well be that you didn't display enough love to Torah, and Torah already walked away from you. Torah dumped you first. And you think you're lacking interest because as if like, you know, it's not, I'm not so interested. It's not that you're not so interested, the Torah dumped you already. And that's mamish this pasuk, with this meridika mashal, that we have to go ahead and show the love that Torah should be interested in us. There's a fascinating maisa brought down in the Chofetz Chaim. In Torah Abayah's Perek Vav, he quotes this maisa. Maisa, there was a maisa with somebody, echod, shoy misyached b'mokom echod. This person was a big masmid, and he went in his boididus. Mama, she was someone who lived alone. He never got married, and he was bis boididus alone. By a loymed by mesechas chagiga. He learned mesechas chagiga. Mahapich bo mahadro kama pa'amim. He kept learning it again and again. Ad shalibet oisahetiv oishashguru apiv. He literally knew every word of the Masechta Baal Peh. It was shogur bapiv, backwards and forwards the Masechta, because that was the Masechta he learned. Lohoye dea mesechas acheres. He didn't learn any other Masechta in Shas. Chagiga he learned again and again, hundreds of times. Vayashoyna ba kol yomov. And that's mamash what he used to learn, mamash vasmod rabba, every day of his life. Came a time, he was an old man, he was nifter min ha'olam. He was nifter. And Hayu Bevesu Levad, he was alone in his house. He lived alone, never got married, and he was nifter, and no one even knew that he was nifter because he had nobody. All of a sudden, Bosa Dmus Isha Achas, a lady seemed to come, Va'amda love, and she started standing there, Varima Kailu Vichi, she started crying. This Rabba An Chosav Tzakosa, she was screaming about this man was Nifter. Adshin Eskapsu Hamoin, people heard screams and cries, and she was carrying off for a long time. So they all gathered there. V'toymalem, she started saying, Siftu, give us hesped, la'achosed hazeh, v'kivruhu, and have to bury him, v'kivdu es aroinoi, v'tizku, you'll be zeich if you do this, mamash et ameis mitzvah, l'chayim abo. Shezek kibdini kol yomav. He was mechabed me my whole life. And people thought, maybe this was his wife, I don't know, maybe we didn't know he was married. He was mechabed me my whole life. I was never left alone. He never forgot me. And she was saying such great things about him. Everybody gathered together. They made a huge hesped. And the people, his asku b'tachricho, his tachrichim, it's called tzorchei kvurosoi, and the ganze kvura. V'kovro isoi b'kovid god. They gave a gvaldik a kovid to this man. Isha was b'ichavitzayekah, she was crying away. Amru lo, after the ganze levaya, and the ganze kvura, they said to her, Mas shimcha, what's your name? Amru lahem, she said back to them, Chagiga shemi. My name is Chagiga. Kima Shenikva, once the kavura happened, Nelma Oisa Isha Min Ayin. This lady disappeared, no one ever saw her again. Miyad Yodu, right away everybody cha, She Meseches Chagiga Hoysa. It was Meseches Chagiga that showed up. Sheniris Betsuris Isha, she showed up in the form of an Isha. Ubasa Beshas Petirasa, she came for the Petira. Lisboi Loi, Livkaisoi, Likavroi, Bekavoi, Al Shahaya Shaina Isa Tamid. He always learned this Masechta, v'shoikid lumoid ba, he was diligent about learning it, and if Torah is a living Metzias, that Metzias came down, had it present itself in a form of an Isha, and she went ahead and made sure this person, actually, people knew that he was Nifter, they buried him, and gave him a spade him, and everything was done properly, for Kavod HaMeis. This is a Moiridik HaMeisa from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is giving over the reality of what it means, Torah is a living Metzias. It's as real as any relationship you have with your friend, any relationship someone has in marriage. Torah is that living being too. And that's this Maisu with Chagiga. And the emesis, we all know the famous Maisa that happened on Shavuos. The Shlach HaKadosh brings it down. Where they stayed up Shavuos night, Shlach HaKadosh writes, it was a time, Hetik Michtav HaMakubal, was a writing from the Makubal of Shlomo Alevi Alkabatz, the Mechaber Lachot Doidi that we have. And he was there, so he said over a testimony about the story that happened, that the Shavuos night they decided to stay up and learn. It wasn't as common as today that it's common practice to sit and learn. It was something that came up with a chap, that we should stay up Shavuos night and learn. Ube'es Sheschal Lumen HaMishnah, we began learning Mishnah. Zekinu Barein, the Barein was Mezakos. All of a sudden, Nishma's kolam adab, we heard a voice. Well, in the Imus Rav, it was a very sweet voice. V'akol hoyle v'chaz, a very strong voice. Then the falma apaneinu, we were only ones there, and we hear a voice. So we fell down on our face. V'lohoye ruach be'ish, lisa einov upon of liroys mirev amayu. We were so frightened, no one looked up to see. We just heard the voice talking to us. V'hiskel v'amah, the voice started telling us, Shimu Yedidai, a Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. Listen, my beloved. Yedidai Ahuvai. Shalom Lochem. Ashreichem. Ashrei Ladetchem. Fortunate are you, fortunate one that gave birth to you. Ashesamta al Nafshechem. You put it on your heart, on your nefesh. La Treini Balai Lazet. To crown me this night. Ashesakam Ashonim. Nofla Teres Roshi. The crown on my head fell. The Eimen Achimli. Anim Shlechas Ba'ofram. Lying in the dirt. And now Hazarta Matar Liyoshna, you brought back the old crown. His chasku yedidai. You should be strengthening yourself. You're doing such a great thing by sitting and learning Shavuos night. Simchu ve'iltzu, ude'u, you should know ki at b'nei aliyah, u'schisem liyos mechol demalka, you're definitely part of the heichol of the melech of Hashem. Kol toiraskan, the kol of your Torah, is all of that Kadosh Baruch Hu goes up before Hashem. Hinani ha-mishnah, I am the Mishnah. Basi l'dabar alech, I'm coming to talk to you. And that's how it revealed itself. I am the Mishnah coming to speak to you. The living Torah came and spoke to them. The Mayisim Asar, if you would have been 10 people, then Hayisim is Alam, Yosef Yosef would be a whole different level. But you didn't have 10 people here. And then it continues the Shlach Kaddish. Shlach Kaddish writes, quoting the Maisa, the whole Arichas. But Akoponim, short on time, I don't want to go so long. But the point is, he just brings down that the next morning, after all the promises, he came off Tochas Gedolos, and they were all crying, Meriva Simcha, how many promises he gave them and all that, the Torah. But then the next morning, Vayiba Baika and Matsanu, they found the Shloisha Chaveim, Ashalog Nimsu Shalom Balailahu, the night before, of the three people that were missing, not from the Chevra, I guess they made up the minion, they found out what they missed. The Ga'arnu, the Mamish, were crying bitterly. Vayomos Liba Kib, the heart was dead inside them, they felt so bad. And then Mamela, they decided the next night they're going to do it with 10 people and tackle them. They heard the call again and they came back and all that. But Akoponim, this Pashat of Maisa that's brought down the Shlach HaKadosh, which is quite Yedua, is mamish this idea of the living Torah, the living Metzias. And it's something we have to put into our heads to realize what this means. That you're not just learning Torah HaKadoshah, you're making a relationship with a living Metzias. No different than any living Metzias sitting right here in front of me. You want to hold on to the question if you don't? The problem is, although we hear this concept, we personally feel so removed, and we just feel very lost in this inyan, and we give up. This doesn't have shaychus to me. But you have to realize that this is the reality of life. There's no such thing as giving up. What are you giving up on? It's like saying, you know, if I have a cold, I have trouble breathing, so I'm just going to give up and die. I mean, you want to live, you have to breathe. You take care of it, you take medication, whatever you're suffering from. The point is, giving up doesn't help. The Metzias is, Torah is a living being. What does it mean? You just, there's no eitzah in giving up. It doesn't help to give up. And therefore, we have to find a way to make this practical. We have to find a way to mechazik in this inyan to change our lives. A yid doesn't give up. I want to share with you a maisa. I just heard. It's a moridika maisa. This recently just happened. There's a yid, Bernard Hilstein, who lived in Pesach. And his wife passed away about 6 years ago. They were never zeichet the children. And ever since his wife was nifteres, his eyesight started going. And he was becoming more and more blinded as time was going on. And his friends, neighbors, were trying to convince him that he has to move out into an assisted living home because he can't really live alone like this. It's really not safe, it's dangerous. And after much pushing him and convincing, he was convinced. So he was looking for an assisted living home to move to. Finally, he found a place. It's a Shemesh Shabbos place in Florida that had availability. So he signed up. He put down a deposit. With a lot of money, he put down a deposit. And he told his landlord, in Passaic, that in a month, he's going to be moving to Florida and he's terminating his contract. This was his plans. Now, in the interim of the last few years, but his eyesight was going, so he adopted, he bought an INC German Shepherd. He needed a dog, he needed something to help him out. And this German Shepherd was part of his life, plus he had trouble seeing. A few weeks after he signed up for this assisted living in Florida, when he was reading some of the huge stack of papers that they sent him, he sees in the writing there, in the contract, no pets allowed, not even a service dog. So he's thinking, so what am I going to do? This is crazy. I can't survive without my dog. And they don't allow it. So you can imagine, he was extremely disappointed. He called the assisted living home and they said, sorry, but rules are rules. We can't help you. He called back and he spoke to the clergy over there. And he begged him and pleaded and told him this whole situation. And he said, listen, I'm so sorry. This is the policy. It's not even my department to change the policy. It's ownership of this place. And they told him something he could do. And you can imagine this guy, Bernard, they called him Bernie, was really beside himself. He already told his landlord that he's moving out. So he doesn't even have really his apartment that he's living in. And he doesn't have a place to go in Florida because no pets allowed. He really didn't know what to do. So he approached his Rav, Rabbi Eisman from Psaic, and he told the Rav the situation, and obviously the Rav was very heartbroken for him. And he said, you know, I'm going to try to see what I can do for you. So the Rav called up this home, and he spoke to the clergy guy, and he explained to him the whole situation. This guy lost his wife, he has no children, he's blind, he needs this German shepherd, what are you supposed to do? And the rabbi said, the clergy guy said, and listen, I'm so sorry, there's nothing I can do, this is the policy, but maybe call the owner himself. I'll give you the owner's phone number. The owner's an old man, he's 95 years old, and maybe he'll make an exception for you, I don't know. So, he called the owner. The owner's name is Mr. Herzl. And he asked him if I could please meet with you in person, because he really needed to accomplish this. Over the phone is not going to work. So Mr. Herzl tells him, you know, you're very lucky. I really live in Florida. But I'm coming into Borough Park for a chasana next week. So you could come and meet me in Borough Park and we could go ahead and have and talk, whatever you want to discuss with me. So Rabbi Eisman goes down to Borough Park next week and he told him to meet him by one of his grandchildren's houses in Borough Park, and he knocks on the door. Mr. Herzl opens the door and he stretches out his hand to give him a warm Shalom Aleichem, and he notices on his arm the numbers. And this guy was a Holocaust survivor, and he sees the numbers tattooed on his hand, and he's thinking to himself, there's no hope. Here's a man who suffered in Germany from the Germans, and I'm going to ask him to bring this German shepherd into his place. I mean, I might as well turn around now. And his heart dropped, and he's thinking to himself, listen, I'm here already, and listen, I have to at least try. Can't give up. I'll try. I can't be successful. I'll tell Bernie, at least I tried. And Mr. Herzl invites him into the dining room and they sit down and he asks him, Nu, how can I help you? So Rabbi Eisman says to him, I have a congregant by me who lost his wife about 6 years ago and he's been losing his eyesight and he owns a German shepherd, an eye in sight to see, you know, to help him out. And he needs to move into assisted living. He was planning on moving into your home, your assisted living home, but there's no pets allowed, not even a service dog. Could he have special permission to bring his dog? So Mr. Herzl looks down and he starts saying, Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinu. Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinu. Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinu. And Rabbi Eisman is sitting there thinking to himself, what's this man talking about? He says to him, I'm sorry, but I don't understand. What are you talking about? That's a pasuk by Yetzias Mitzrayim. L'chol b'nei Yisrael, lo yechratz kelev l'shoinu. The dogs didn't bark. What are you talking about? So Mr. Herzl says, I'll explain to you. He says, 78 years ago, in 1945, we knew we were getting liberated, the war was ending. And I was in the concentration camp, And the Germans at that point realized also that it's all over, and they started a new mission. We're killing every Jew that we see. Let's just try to get rid of as many as possible before the war totally ends and they're liberated. And I ran to hide. They were running around, the Germans, with German shepherds to try to sniff out any being that they could find to kill. And I ran into my bunker and I hid underneath a bed, hoping to survive. I heard the Germans coming around and they entered my bunker, heard their big boots walking, and they had a German shepherd sniffing. And I was laying under this bed saying to myself, "Ulchol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai." I kept saying the pasuk. And sure enough, when they walked by me, the dog just walked by without even sniffing and passed right by me. Once the German was gone, I said to myself, I owe so much hakaras hatoiv to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. I even owe hakaras hatoiv to a German shepherd. And at that time, I promised somehow I have to repay my hakaras hatoiv. He said, "Rabbi Eisman, I was waiting 78 years to have an opportunity to show my hakaras hatoiv somehow to a German shepherd. 78 years of waiting, and now you finally came. Of course you have permission. This will be my hakaras hatoiv to let this yid come in with a German shepherd into my assisted living home." And this was the maisa. There's a lot of lessons you can learn from this maisa. But I think one of the biggest lessons is this inyan of not giving up. A person, a yid, always does what he has to do and doesn't give up. That's the nature of a yid. And that's what you see in this story. And this is something that a person has to realize. When we're dealing with the greatest things, like Torah, which is our purpose in this creation. Bereishis b'shnil Torah shenikra reishis. As removed as you feel, as distant as this concept feels, if this is the reality of what the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us, a living Torah that he wants every yid to make a relationship with, now is the time to start figuring out how I'm going to make a real relationship with Torah. I think on this inyan, on a practical level, what do I do? I think we could say over the last pasuk in Parashas Yisro, which was by Kabbalas HaTorah. What's the last pasuk? And this is the message for every single one of us. Loisale demalois al mizbechi. Don't climb onto my mizbeach with steps. Asher loisigola ervoscha alov. I don't want you to reveal your erva. And rather, had they go up onto the mizbeach with a ramp. So I heard a beautiful pshat. Many times in our avodah, we're told to go with steps. Go step by step, rung by rung. In many areas, it's very true. You can't jump. You got to go step by step. But do you know what's unique about steps in contrast to ramp? By steps, when you're on this step, you're not on this step. And when you're on this step, you're not on that step. Each step is individual. There are many times in our avodah that we have to approach the avodah and climb to the mizbeach on a ramp. You can't say, "This is where I'm holding, and I'm not holding here. This is where I'm holding, and I'm not holding here." That's steps. And when it comes to many times in our avodah, we have to go with a ramp. A ramp is all one plateau. It's one level. From beginning to end, you get there with one level. That's called throwing yourself in. This is an area in Avodah where the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us, in regard to be Mekabel Torah, don't climb my Mizbeach. Don't think it's going to work with steps. Every one of us are so busy always. Well, this is where I'm holding. I'm not holding there. This is what I did. It's since first grade I had this issue. And when I was fifth grade, I got thrown out for that. Stop going with steps. When it comes to Torah, you throw yourself in like a ramp. There's no calculation of where I'm holding. And this is the message of the Pasuk. Like Rashi brings down. Climb. Don't climb with steps. Why not? Because you don't want to reveal your erva. Says Rashi, there's no erva being revealed. Ain't a gilu erva mamish. Because you're wearing michlis evad. You're wearing your pants. Even if you go in steps, no gilu erva. Says Rashi, all we mean is, don't go with large steps. Harchavas hapsiyos. Because that's karoiv legilu erva. It's called close to idea of gilu erva. What does that mean? Because you know you're going to have minig bezoyin. It's a bezoyin what you're doing. Don't go with steps, even though there's no real gilu erva. But don't go with steps, because steps means you're taking large psiyos, and that's a bezoyin. When it comes to Torah, if you start making those cheshbonos, that's a bezoyin. Start calculating where I'm holding. I think I'm only able to do that. Don't make those calculations. You're being mevazeh in the Torah. If you want the Torah to love you, you have to show it love. Making calculations is a bezoyin to the Torah. That's not loving Torah. You have to throw yourself in like a ram. I want to give you an example. You know, yesterday, Klal Yisrael was zeicha to a tremendous nes. I don't know if you're aware. Israeli time, Monday morning, 1 a.m. The IDF, with a lot of planning and a lot of their different groups that they had associated with it, they went into Rafah, Palestinian neighborhood by Gaza, and they rescued two hostages. And Baruch Hashem, they found, you know, they knew about these guys there. One 60-year-old man, one 70-year-old man, and Baruch Hashem, healthy and gesund, they rescued them and got them out. And if you go ahead and find out the story, I mean, it's not humanly understandable how they did this. Literally doesn't make any sense. They went into a Palestinian neighborhood. They had to blow up the door of the apartment where these guys were. They had to kill three of the guards that were guarding them. And then to rescue them out, there was Palestinians shooting from all different buildings and locations. I mean, it was such an operation. It doesn't make any sense. And yet, the Chasdei Hashem, they were zeicha to go ahead and rescue two of these neshamas, two hostages. Literally, what we said this morning at Tehillim was Makuyim. What did we say at Tehillim this morning in Perek Ayin Tes? Tovoi lefonecho enkas osir. Let it come before you the cries of the people that are locked up as hostages. Kegoydel zroyacho hoyse b'nei simusa. With your great strength of your arm, release these people that are destined to die. This goydel zroyacho, no different than Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Rebbeinu Shel took us out to zroya netuya. This was a mice of Yetzias Mitzrayim that they were zoycha to somehow save these two hostages. It's lo yu'uman. It's incredible, the story. It's hard to believe. But this is the Rabbeinu Shel Zroya Netuya. He goydel zroyacha, he was able to take them out. But I want to tell you something behind the scenes. This is the maisa you can look, see and read and everything. I have a Talmud who's a working bachar. He doesn't learn much. He works full day, very busy. He barely learns. On Sunday, which we all know was Super Bowl Sunday, I'm not bringing anything chidushin to you, I'm sure. Sunday, just 2 days ago, was Super Bowl Sunday. He calls me up to tell me, you know, there's a movement out there. Instead of watching the game, go to Beis Medrash and learn. There's such a movement. And this guy calls me up and tells me, I think I want to go to Beis Medrash and learn instead of watching the game. I want it to be a schus for myself and Klal Yisrael. And when I left yeshiva Sunday night, at about 9:30, he calls me up on a high. Wow. He's a yeshiva bachar, but he hasn't learned in a while. There's nothing like sitting and learning 3 hours straight. Here's what he tells me. He was mamash on a high. Shikr. Literally shikr. He's drunk. He was on a high. There's nothing like learning 3 hours straight. He didn't watch the game. He sat and learned. He felt like $1 million. Do you realize when Klal Yisrael, when this Bachar, let's say, was sitting and learning, or others that joined this movement and shut their screens and instead learned instead of the Super Bowl? It's the same exact time that in Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shem performed this Zraya Netuya of saving these hostages at 1 a.m. Go make the calculations. Mamash the same hours. There's no question in the world. It was this chus of the added chusim that Klal Yisrael did. Whoever was Laimit Torah at those times, they were mice and nefesh to give up so much. It had such an effect that the Rebbeinu Shem performed nisim and afloyas for us. But the point I want to bring out to you is that think about this guy who went to sit and learn instead of watching the game. He watched every other game. He doesn't learn much regularly during the week. But yet, he went ahead and threw himself into something that sounds impossible for such a guy. Sit and learn 3 hours straight. But whatever inspiration he had, I don't know what it was. He went and did it. And he could see the payrus. Be'ezer Hashem in his own life will see payrus from this Gevaldika act. From this Gevaldika Libra Torah. There's no question he will see payrus in his own life. Torah goes ahead as machzeres, takes care of the people that give himself over to it. But even Klal Yisrael was zoicha to seek of all the kapayrus. This was a nace. 130 days into the war, and all of a sudden they find they rescue two hostages. It's kula yal Hashem, Reina Shalaylam, Zoraya Netuya. We have to realize that we have it in us to stop approaching Torah with steps, but rather get on the ramp. Don't make cheshbonos, jump in. From here on in, start a new relationship with Torah. Don't make cheshbonos of how removed I feel, or where I'm holding, or what. Nothing. Torah is a living metzius. And when you're in a relationship, you have to relate to it in a way that the Torah is going to be happy with you. You have to think about this. We have to start focusing on the feelings of Torah. Stop being concerned, showing respect to Torah. Thinking, how happy is Torah with me? How loved does the Torah feel by me? These are questions we have to ask ourselves. If you disappear when you go to the bathroom for an hour, Torah can't be too happy with you. If every other day you have to miss, or you can't come on time, all the things where you sit in your seat, schmoozing, sitting back, all the things that we might do, you have to think to yourself, I'm insulting Torah. Torah's not going to be happy with me. What type of relationship is this? This is not the type of relationship I would have with a person Well, Torah is nothing less. Torah is a living mitzvah. If you don't make these cheshbonos, and these are things you don't think about, you have to realize you're not learning Torah HaKadosha. You're not having a living mitzvah of Torah in your life. You could be getting Torah knowledge, like some bachurim here get. But I have to be honest. There's some bachurim here that I really believe have no shaychus to anything more than Torah knowledge. Nothing more than Torah knowledge. And they might become a Torah scholar, but that's about it. You know, someone told me Art Scroll sells tremendous amount of sales to Goyim. Because there are many Goyim that are interested in Torah knowledge too. It's very intellectually stimulating. So you're nothing more than that guy that's studying Art Scroll. And it's the reality. Go find out. Someone told me South Korea, they buy a lot of Art Scroll Gemaras. Someone told me, he knows this. In South Korea, there's a ton of sales of Art Scroll Gemaras. There's no Jews there. It's the Goyim studying Torah. And they're becoming Torah scholars. That's what you want to be? Or you want the Metzias of Torah? Get on the ramp, stop going with steps. It's the only way. No cheshbonos. When you jump in, you'll see, you'll... Torah is mesamchei lev. You know, when you make those cheshbonos and you think you're not holding there, and I don't feel the geshmak, it's all because you're looking at Torah like a guy from the outside. Of course, if it's Torah knowledge, it's hard. To study science is hard, to study math is hard, and to study Torah is hard. How geshmak could it be? But if you're on the ramp and you're in a loving relationship with Torah, that's when you start getting the geshmak of Torah. That's when you start getting the happiness of Torah. That's when you start feeling all the bracha of Torah. That gives you a Torah life. Everything else is not that. If you're experiencing difficulties, it's because you're not there. How do I get there? Stop going with the steps. Get on the ramp. That's the only way. And you'll see for yourself. Try it. You'll see for yourself. You'll be a different person in a week. A different person. I see it's very late. We'll just end with this. There's no such thing as someone saying, Torah is not for me. And this is the Beferish Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks that it's so strange. The Torah went ahead, Parshas Yisroi, the Atah Sechazah. Yisroi gave us advice how to go ahead and deal with our Torah and our Yiddishkeit. Frekt Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Re'isi Losei Zleiv, Eich Zocha Yisroi. First of all, why was Yisroi even Zaycha? Shetikos of Al-Yodei Parsha Zu, that the Parsha should be written through him. And Stamazoi, Hoya Hashem Yochol Asois Loi Derech Kovin Acher, the Rebbe Hashem could have done it in a more respectful way. Bokoyim Midyon Veskilom, we need a priest from the other nations. Yisroi was a priest, Koyim Midyon. We need that priest from the other nations to come ahead and tell us how to do things. What's going on? Frekta Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And yet this is what happened with Yisroi. How do you understand that? Zokta Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Tam hadover hu. Laharois Hashem is b'nei Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted to show Klal Yisrael. Hadorahu in that generation. V'chol dor v'dor, and he wanted to show this to every generation, even till today. That what? Yesh v'umayz g'doylam havon of haskala. The goyim, there's a lot of intellect out there. A lot of understanding. Say ulamad, go look, haskala's Yisrael. That priest gave a great idea. And we want you to recognize a lot of chokhmah out there. But he wants you to know, Loibo habechir b'Yisrael. I didn't choose Klal Yisrael. Letzad sheyesh bohem haskala. It's not because Klal Yisrael has the intellect. Although we look around and we see it's always the Jews that are the smartest people in all the different areas, it's just because the goyim don't use their head. That's what the Aruch Chaim is telling you. They're too busy, you know, getting drunk in the bars or whatever it is. But if they would use their heads, they would also come up with greater things. But Akapanim Zot Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the goyim have a lot of chokhmah, be'etzem. I didn't pick the Yidin because of any chokhmah, any haskalah. The Hakara Yosem, because Umo is more than the nations. And the proof is, Vizelacha Ois, the fact that we come onto Yisroi to learn something. Ki loiv me roiv chokhmas Yisroel. It's not because of the chokhma of Yidin, the Haskalosom, that Bokha Hashem Bohem, that Hashem chose us and gave us the Torah. So I heard over from Yitzchak Feigelstock Zatzal, also a Talmud of Aaron, that he said over, what's Pasha Pshat in this? How do you understand this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh? Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is telling us a factual thing, that Klal Yisrael has Torah not because we have brains. It's not because of any seichel. The Goyim have a seichel. Look at Yisrael. Says the Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Yitzchak Feigelstock, this is the message the Rebbe Shem wants to teach us. Torah is not about brains. It has nothing to do with seichel. You can have no kishroinus, no capabilities. But if you sit down and you learn Torah and give it the respect of a relationship, the Torah reveals itself to you. There's no yid that doesn't is not included in this. It's not me for chachamim. Your Rebbeinu Shem didn't give it because we're chachamim. No shaychus to chachma. You'll get your chachma in Torah. How do you get it? With a relationship. With your friend, you schmooze. With your friend, you share your nash. With your friend, you do favors. With Torah, you make relationship. Not with schmoozing with Torah. Not with giving it food. Not going out with Torah on a walk. The way you make relationship with Torah is toiling in Torah. The minute you start being Isaac in Torah and Omo Batayra, Torah is so happy with you. You're making relationship with Torah. That shows Hashimah Satayra, Ava Satayra, Dvekus Batayra, and it changes who you are. This is what Rabbi Chaim Epstein meant when he said he went to Rav Aaron and it changed his life. Because Torah is something so different. Once you internalize the living Metzias Satayra and not just a Torah HaKadosh of Chachma, this living Metzias of Torah could change your life. But you got to stop using the steps and get on the ramp. The brothers should bench you all, bench us all, and we should all be Zaycha to lift our Madrega in relationship with Torah by internalizing these Yesaidas. And Be'ez Hashem, then we'll be Zaycha to all the brachas that Torah gives us.